Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're into program number 319. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways that you could receive a copy of either audio tape or a CD at the end of the program. So make sure that you have your pen or pencil and pad ready. Mark down program 319. We have some messages, Bible. We have some strong explanations of who Christ is and how he abides within you. We have music. And right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask him to anoint this gospel service. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for salvation. We thank you, Lord God, that for the trials and tribulations you put us through, because what it does is makes us stronger Christians. People should never complain, Lord, about the trials and tribulations that we go through, because these are all geared to make us tougher and rougher in these last days. There's tribulations coming upon this earth that most people will not be able to endure. But you have caused us to go through the valley of the shadow of death. We've been on mountaintops. We've been down in the valleys. We've been through the Red Sea. We've been across Jordan. We've been in the Promised Land, and we sit in the kingdom of heaven with you now. We thank and praise you, Father God, because we know that we're in the very last few minutes of the end time. Time will be no more. It'll be eternity. Eternity either in heaven or in hell, in the lake of fire. And I just thank and praise you, Lord, that you've given us yourself, your word, and you are the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and that you and the Father and the Holy Spirit and the law and the glistening, the glowing, the joy, the happiness, and all the different elements of you are living in us. And I thank you for that, Lord. I pray, Lord, that souls will be saved, that all of the people that are firing on us, that are satanic right now, that you will open up their hearts, their souls and mind, and let them receive your precious word, that they too might be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and be workers with us in the gospel field. Lord, open the windows of heaven that souls, these souls might be saved, and that the church might be strengthened with all might from you within. I ask it, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
We have to be strong, not unlike Jesus, but we're to be exactly like him. For we are the continuation of the Lord was the first incarnation of God on this earth, and now we are the continuation of his incarnation here on earth. And we need to keep riding on with King Jesus. And here's Fag Springman to sing for you, "Ride On, King Jesus."
Hinder me, ride on, King Jesus. No man can hinder me. I was but young when I begun. No man can hinder me.
Praise the Lord. That's one of the most magnificent voices, Peg Springman. He's on Word Records and Sacred Records, and there's several other gospel recording companies that Mr. Springman is on. He's not in this world any longer. He's in the kingdom of heaven right now. He's one of my very favorite singers. He really, you can tell he really means what he's singing. And I feel the power of the Lord is in him. Just like the law, if you're born again of the Spirit, the law, Jesus is the law, and he's living within you. You know, a lot of times people wonder the kind of relationship they should be wondering all the time about it, the kind of relationship they should have with Jesus, being it is that he is the law living within us. It is not, this law that's living within us is not according to the regulations of the so-called churches. Because, you know, there's a lot of false people in churches. There's a lot of people that we don't need to listen to that are in churches. We need to have Christ living in us, and we need to have his regulatory spirit in us to regulate us. Not some external church, which is a building and is conducted by some people that are maybe of the Lord, and a lot of them are not of the Lord at all. So it's according to we don't go according to doctrinal teachings outwardly, because a lot of the doctrines of the churches are false, they're wrong. But we go, if you're a born-again Christian and Christ is living in you, then the law, he has the law. He stated that he didn't come to destroy the law, because he was the law. He came to fulfill the law within us. He wanted to show us that the law was in him and was regulating him. He was keeping the rules and the regulations of the law. Doctrinal teachings are fine. We have to learn what the doctrine in the Bible is. But it's when we're born again of the Spirit, we have Christ in us, and everything then is according to the Christ inside, who is regulating us. Do we have some testimonials today?
Yes.
Okay, where's the first one from?
From Houston, Texas.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Lamo, your article in the Houston Chronicle is excellent and on time. Please keep up the good work and continue placing articles, because just like in the days of Noah, mankind is still doing. Only the elect, as I see, are still looking and doing as Christ says. Watch and pray. Thank you for a very profound article, Mr. K. Hayes from Houston, Texas.
All right. So what people are lacking now is the Spirit of God within me. That is, and if the Spirit of God in anybody is doing the talking, and the Lord is regulating the words and the deeds in a person, well, then you can rely on that person to believe that you're receiving the truth. Because there is Christ who is the law. He's many things in us, but he is one of the things that he is in us. Yeah, is the law. Now, a lot of people feel, well, Christ is Christ and that's all. Christ is the Holy Spirit. Christ is the life-giving Spirit. Christ is the Spirit of God. Christ is God. Christ is the Holy Spirit. Christ is our Comforter. Christ is our Teacher. That Christ is our joy. Christ is everything in those that are born again in the Spirit. In the Old Testament times, an Israelite could do a lot of good things, and we also can do the same thing today. We can do all kinds of good things, and a person could even sacrifice himself and everything that he has for others. So no matter what all the good things are that he or we could do or he has done, if he did something against the law, still he had to pay the price. He had a very big problem before God. Today, it is the same with us, related to the law of life. The 8th chapter of the book of Romans tells us that we now are operating under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. If we are not right with the Lord, who is the law within us, which is the inner regulating, the rules and regulations within us, no matter how many good things that we may have done or that we're doing today, we know there's a big problem between us and God. We know that many of us preach the gospel. Novices are not to teach, or else they fall into the same condemnation as the devil, because they don't know enough. A novice is young in the Lord. He doesn't know enough about the Bible in order to teach it. He's going to be teaching a lot of wrong things. And I see a lot of novices, and I hear a lot of wrong teachings here and there, not only on television, but elsewhere. So it's up to us to preach the gospel, minister the word. I do also teaching. We do a lot of things to help others, but we know there is a problem between us and God. If we are wrong by not abiding by the regulating that is within us. The Lord, again, is the law that's living within us, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and he is the one that wants to regulate us. He wants us to obey the rules and regulations of the Holy Spirit. But we're in a lot of trouble with the Lord. We're wrong with that regulation within. the rules and regulations within. So if that's true, if that is with you, there have been times when I wanted to do certain things. And I thought that it would be a work of the Lord if I did them. But I began realizing that the inner regulation, the rules and regulating, was demanding me to do something else, to stop that work that I thought was of the Lord. I had the intention and the desire to do it. There are several times that this has happened to me. I told the Lord, this work is so good that I'm doing and will help others immensely. And it's so very profitable, Lord, and it will bring about a lot of salvation to souls, Lord, and the church will be benefited by the things that I'm doing as well. But the more I argued with the Lord about things like that, the more I felt less peace and less peace every day. The more I kept doing it, the more and more I lost the inner peace. It got so bad that I had to stop doing it completely. So the more I did it, the more I lost the anointing of the Lord. I was wrong with the Lord. But today, I keep the proper relationships with the Lord God, not by doing things that I think are good. And the things that I was doing, most people would think they were good, like preaching certain messages, and then when I go to the pulpit, the Lord changes the entire message around to where it's not the same anymore, but it's a good message. Amen.
Amen.
Messages are good.
Amen.
But by going down, going along with the inner law, letting Christ, letting it regulate me, letting Christ do the work within me, in and through me, Christians need to take care of the inner law, the inner anointing. This is the inner law. That inner law is Jesus. We have to take care of listening to what Jesus wants us to do, the commandments that he wants us to keep. We have to keep the entire moral law. But he stated that when he went away and he became the life-giving spirit in us, that he would teach us all things. And sometimes when he's trying to teach us something, we're trying to teach him. Huh? Isn't that something? The inner anointing, the inner law. We need to take care of the inner law, which is Christ, the inner anointing, which is Christ, the Holy Spirit. This is how we know that we take Christ as our life. If you're really taking care of the inner anointing, you will go along with it. You will do what the Lord says for you to do. When I'm talking about that inner anointing, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus, who is the law within us. This is how you know that you are letting Christ, you're taking him as your life. Again, because we have no life unless it's Christ, so we have to surrender our own life and take Christ as our life. Again, if you are really taking care of the inner law, which is Christ again, the inner anointing, which is Christ again, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which of course is Jesus, if you are, you will go along. You're going to do whatever the Holy Spirit says. So even when the Lord stops you from doing things that you think are so good, by sacrificing yourself to what you feel is loving others. You shouldn't argue with the Holy Spirit. You must not argue with the Holy Spirit, because no matter how good you think what you're about to do is good, if the Holy Spirit says no, it isn't. Because this is something that you say is good, and because you think that it is something for God, or for Christ, which is Christ, or for that matter, something for God's people. The Lord gives us finances. We could say, I'm going to go buy this apartment house for the Lord's people. And it might be the very last money that you have. And you go spend maybe $500,000 or whatever on the apartment house. And then find out later that it's condemned. You thought you were doing something good for the Lord and the Lord's people, but it's condemned and you can't use it. And it would take maybe another $1.5 million to fix the place. That's what I'm talking about. You understand?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
So if the Lord is checking you on buying an apartment house or some other building for $500,000, listen to him, because there's got to be something wrong with the apartment or whatever you're about to do that you think is of the Lord, and something for him, or for that matter, something for God's people. The Lord only wants you to take care of the inner anointing. If the anointing is telling you no, don't do it. The inner anointing and the regulating. He's trying to regulate everything you do. It's just like Jesus when the disciples wanted him to go to Lazarus. If you're about him, you'll go. You'll go there and heal him, they were thinking. But the Lord went by the inner anointing, the law, the inner law. Again, the inner anointing, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He wouldn't go because it was a bigger miracle that he allowed. He stayed where this Holy Spirit wanted him to stay. And when he did go, it was a greater miracle to see him raised from the dead than to merely be healed. We need to take the Lord God, the Lord Jesus, as our life by taking care of the regulation and the rules that are within us. If you don't do that, if you don't pay any attention to the regulations and the rules within you, you are not a person taking Christ as your life. You're not doing it all the time. And we can't be part-time Christians. We have to be Christians all the time. Christ is life as our life in you as the living law regulating you. In all things, he is the law. I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it in you. If we're part of the body of Christ, we're letting the inner anointing do that. Do you have another testimony from outside?
Yes. From Benin City, Nigeria.
Okay.
Thanks for the wonderful gospel literature package that you sent me for distribution. I gave them out for evangelism, and many souls were sure saved. Thanks for advancing God's kingdom. I am in need of 3 Bibles now to give to some Muslim friends who just got saved through the book, The Messiah.
Well, thank you for advancing God's kingdom. Praise the Lord. That's really something, you know, to win Muslims. Amen?
Amen.
We have won lots of them, and many of the people in our church have won a lot of Muslims to the Lord as well. And here's another one. Has some Muslim friends. And that's what we're to do, is be friendly to people. Because if you want to have friends, you have to show yourself to be friendly. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Please, I will be grateful if you can help. May Jesus bless you as you do. Pastor Ulamo sent me a letter in which he said he would like to send me a Tony Ulamo t-shirt and sweatshirt. Please do send it. My size is medium. And I would also like you to send my darling mom the shirt as a birthday gift. Thanks for all the wonderful things you are doing for Christ. Joshua in Benin City, Edo State, Nigeria.
Okay, and let's do another one.
Okay, then from National City, California. May I please have the free booklet of the Messiah and also any free publications? I read your article of Dry Bones in the newspaper. It was very powerful. God bless and thank you again, Tony Ulamo, for Dry Bones. Signed, Norma from National City, California.
That's it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So now we promised to let you hear some more about the Timothy McVeigh thing, where the government within our government is not really the United States government. What it is it's the Antichrist government. And all you need to do is read the Bible to see what Christ says and what he says is right. And then you'll see that it's the Antichrist government that we have here. And the Bible states that it is Satan that gives it its power. And so thousands upon thousands of people have seen the mischief, the evil in the Vatican's one world government within our government. We have no business in other countries whatsoever. They know, and millions of people know that we're lying about what is going on all over the world, but it's not the United States people, it's not the United States real government, it is the Vatican government powered by that great red flag and the devil that is doing these things in the world today, and you need to know that because we are in a war. It's not a war, we don't use guns, bullets, bombs, tanks, or fighter planes, or bombers, or anything like this, but what we do is use the Word of God. So therefore, we're harmless and we're holy. We're holy people and harmless. We can't lie, but we do have to suffer liars. We have to put up with it until the Lord gets tired of hearing people lie about us, and then he takes care of them. Vengeance belongs to him. But we see these things. Now, when I was in prison, for the gospel's sake, in Fort Worth prison, I went there from Arkansas prison for a parole hearing. And one person wrote in and said they didn't want me to be paroled. And they just told I was placed in prison on a pack of lies by several people that were backsliders. And then here they are saying, this person said, oh, if he gets out, he'll be doing all these things. Actually, the people that are accuse us really need to get saved, because they're telling lies about us. Most of them, they don't even know us. They've never met us. They've never been at our church. But I can tell you that our children in our church are the happiest children I've ever known in my life, and everybody says the same thing. When they go, we take them out to restaurants, or people say how well-mannered they are. There's no beatings of little children or anything. It's like we discipline the children, but it's because the Lord tells us to. We take privileges away from them. And most all the time, they just completely listen to that. They don't like it when privileges are taken away. And so they shape up real fast, and they learn that there are laws. There's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And the Lord wants us to be good representatives, to be like him. And so it does take some chastening. I know every on-fire business in the world has strong leadership, and they have disciplinary measures within the work. They dock your pay if you don't come in. They don't allow you to use certain facilities. If every organization has to have rules and regulations. And so how much more the Lord and the church, the true church, the body of Christ. We can't be unruly and be in the body of Christ at the same time. You must obey the inward law, which is Christ, the inward anointing. And so we see that when I was in that prison in Fort Worth, I heard one testimony after the other. It was just after the burning, the bombing of the federal building in Oklahoma City. And these people were swearing that they saw supposed to be federal men. They were FBI, BATA, DEA officers bringing explosives into the building, and they were wondering about it. Then, just before the blast, they saw all kinds of federal people grabbing their children out of the daycare center and fleeing, and they knew that the FBI was doing that. And then some of them testified that FBI people came to them and told them if they were going to testify about that, that they wouldn't live long, and a lot of them were killed. And here's some of the reality of this Timothy McVeigh thing. We read part of it before, and here's some more of it. Then I've got some more teaching here from the Lord.
A barometric bomb would account for the two blasts heard by witnesses.
See, they heard, and the witnesses said they heard two blasts. The first one from the truck, and then the one that from the dynamite and the explosives that the supposed to be federal men, supposed to be U.S. military, brought into the to the building. But it so there was two blasts for sure. Then what?
And it would also explain the extensive damage caused by the explosion. However, such a bomb would be beyond the scope of a supposed, quote, lone nut, unquote, like Timothy McVeigh. In fact, knowledge of how to construct such a device is available to only a few with the highest level of security clearance, because the barometric bomb is still highly classified. In other words, only those with a high level of security clearance in the U.S. government and security services would have access to the know-how to construct such a device.
So what it is that it was government people that did it. It was the same thing with the World Trade Center. That's how, you know, a plane crashing into the upper floors of the World Trade Center would have never caused the whole building to pancake down the way both of them did. There were blasting caps, dynamite sticks, whatever, planted expertly throughout the whole building. And people said they could hear them blasting off. And then they saw the whole building just collapse from the bottom down. One pancake after the other, one floor after the other coming down upon the other. Then what else does it say?
Not only did McVeigh not have such clearance, but he didn't have the necessary know-how to make such a device himself, all of which suggests that McVeigh was not the bomber, but a patsy, a fall guy who was lined up to take the rap for the bombing. And his reward? A place in the history books with a new life and a clean bill of health after his, quote, execution, unquote, maybe. Significantly, by court order, there was no autopsy and no cremation of his body after execution. This, despite the fact that both are standard practice for executed prisoners. Moreover, according to reporters covering the execution, McVeigh seemed remarkably calm. So there were no last-minute nerves, no clinical autopsy, no cremation, and maybe no body, too. And, in a final ironic twist, McVeigh's death certificate, if authentic, lists him a, quote, soldier, unquote, and his employer as the U.S. Army. Yet he supposedly left the U.S. Army back in 1993. Sources include BrassCheck.com, Team Infinity, Skolnick.com, that's Skolnick.com, and Rents, RENSE.com. Quote, Sergeant McVeigh was an outstanding soldier. He did what he was told, anticipated what had to be done, and took pride in his work, unquote. Captain Jesus Angel Rodriguez, McVeigh's commanding officer during the Gulf War, testifying at his sentencing hearing. Quote, the shallow breathing continued, or what appeared to be shallow breathing, even after they pronounced him dead, unquote. Susan Carlson reporting on McVeigh's execution for WLS Chicago, broadcast minutes after the sentence was carried out. Postscript. The above was first posted on rumormillnews.com, a forum often used by dissident U.S. government insiders. One anonymous respondent wrote that he had personally heard McVeigh being told that, quote, they wouldn't let him die inside, unquote. www.rumormillnews.net. Then the website this article can be read on is www.thetruthseeker, all one word, .co.uk.
All right, praise the Lord. There are so many phony things going on in this country. When I saw the Sun newspaper, which is one of those throwaway newspapers, those sensational newspapers that you see in supermarkets, is saying that the Vatican clergy predicted that there would be terrorism in the early fall, like September 11th. I knew then that they were going to do something in the early fall because there are no prophets in the Catholic cult. There are no prophets in the Vatican. This is a Satan-powered organization. And they run the government, the world government, and they run the media. And you can just tell the way they act, like Bush, President Bush chuckles all the time because he feels in his soul that, you know, he's really got tremendous backing from the Vatican. Wherever he goes, he's got like fighter jets just buzzing all over the sky. But he forgets God, I reckon, because God, no matter if he's in a locked bedroom, can come in and do what he will in there to him. We've prayed for President Bush very strongly because the man is so deceived, and it's so obvious to anybody that has a brain in their head. All right, now we have some more about... we can tell that the law of God is not regulating him. So, in all things, one of the things that is in the Lord is the law. And those of us, he is the law within us. You are not the law. He is the rule. We are not to take the law or make up what we think is right in our own mind or in our own hands. He is the law. You are not the law. I am not the law. He is the rule. You are not the rule. He is the living rule, the living law, always regulating you if you're submissive to him from within you. These people have not the law of God regulating them whatsoever. They are, they think the law, and they've taken the law into their own hands. And they have no peace. When you know that the law of God is in you regulating everything that you do and say, then there is also the matter of peace that's in you. Yeah, because when you are doing the right thing, the Lord gives you the peace in the Spirit. Romans 8:6 tells us that, quote, the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. How you know that you are taking Christ as life? By the knowledge, or that this, you sense the peace inside you. Everything within you and every part of your being is peaceful, restful, and at ease. when you are taking the Lord Jesus Christ as your life, when you are in the light, in the flow, and under the regulating law that regulates you within, you have the wonderful, perfect peace that passes understanding. This is not an outward peace, but an inward peace. This is the peace in your heart, in the spirit, and even in the soul, in the mind, emotion, and your will. You have the entire peace, the perfect peace, the heavenly peace, the divine peace within you, the peace that passes all understanding. Until it happens, you can tell that you are taking Christ as life just by checking to see if you have the fellowship with the Lord. And if you have the fellowship with the Lord, you have the joy. If you have the fellowship with the Lord, you have the glowing. If you have the fellowship with the Lord, you have the regulating. The rules and regulations within you. And you have peace with the Lord. And the peace all the time. You have peace all the time, not just part of the time. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, and some that are Christians that neglect their inner life. They work. They walk. And they have the their being on their own business and according to their moral standards. To them, as long as they are not doing something evil, to them it is good enough. They don't take care of Christ within them. This is something that you must not be that way. You must not be that kind of Christian. You must take care of the inner life of the Lord Jesus Christ within all the time. Now we're going to read about 5 minutes. The Lord told me to check on Hitler's speeches because I never knew what he said. And I've done quite a few tapes on that. And it's very enlightening to know that he knew that it was wrong to be in the United Nations. He thought the United Nations were being run by the Jews. But if Hitler would have just simply checked it out to see who was behind it, he would have known that his church, the Vatican, was the very one behind it. The one they set him up, he was a patsy. Hitler was a patsy. And he was doing exactly what the government. Bush is a patsy. All the presidents before even FDR were patsies. They're like puppets that the devil uses through their false church, the Vatican. And that, again, the Vatican runs the UN. According to the Word of God, this is true. And that the Bible, the Word of God, which is Christ, and the Word of God is the Holy Spirit. And for you to say that the Holy Spirit is wrong, and that the media and the government and the false prophet in Rome and the devil is right, my friend, you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And there's no forgiveness for that. And so the Word of God says that this is the Antichrist. And he tells you very clearly that it sits in the city of the seven mountains, and that's Rome. So we're going to give you about 5 minutes of Hitler here, his speech, because the Lord told me to tell you how he wanted to pull out of the United. He did pull out of the United Nations, and Germany started prospering. And when they stopped prospering was when he believed the Vatican that it was the Jews that were causing all the trouble in the nation. And once people believe that, they're believing wrong against God's chosen people. Now, God's chosen people just happened to be the Jews. And he said, I'll bless them that bless the Jew, and I'll curse them that curse the Jew. Now, President Bush has been listening. He's been reading some magazine that shows the life of Abraham from three different aspects, the Christian, the Jews, and the Muslims. What has the Jews that don't believe in Christ have to do with eternal life? Nothing whatsoever. And what do the hateful Muslims have to do with eternal life? Nothing. Abraham was the first Jew. And we are the seed of Abraham, those that do the will of the Lord. The Muslims are not doing the will of the Lord, and the Jews, the Jewish religion, does not believe in Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that they won't, because the Bible says that a lot of the Jews, all Israel, will be saved. That means, but the Bible also says that all Israel is not Israel. But Hitler made a mistake, and then he started wiping out who he thought were the enemies within, and that was the Jews. And that's when they got in a lot of trouble, because that gave the UN a perfect opportunity to make themselves look good by rushing into Germany and blowing them to pieces. So let's hear a little bit from Hitler, because the Lord wants you to.
The German people were not created by Providence in order to follow obediently a law which suits the English or the French.
Right, and the United States of America, by Providence, was not created by the Almighty God to have a bunch of UN third world countries voting whether we should be able to have the steel industry over here, the automobile industry, the television industry, and all the other industries that we had to be taken away from us. All right, so here Hitler is complaining about the UN dictating what the German people can and can't do, and that's what is happening. The UN is making rules and regulations in our country that are the exact opposite of the rules and regulations, the law of the Almighty God in our country, and we're being ruined. And we need to pull out of there. You secular people want any kind of peace. Now, those of us that are born again of the Spirit, you know, I could care less. If you want to let the devil rule over you, I'm not going to let it happen to me. I don't want to take a secular job like President of the United States or anything like that whatsoever. I don't want to rule any town, because the Bible plainly states that this world is not our final home. This is not our home at all. We're just like sheep among wolves here. We're just passing through. We're travelers. We're pilgrims. And our home is in heaven. And that's where I want to be.
Amen.
All right. So go ahead.
The German people were not created by Providence in order to follow obediently a law which suits the English or the French, but rather in order to champion their right to live.
Yeah, we're created here to champion our right to live. But do we have a right to live? No. We're sending our boys overseas to people that the Vatican wants to control the country. So they make a devil out of those people. And we send our boys over there, and the girls too. And they get killed over there by tens of thousands more than the media is letting you know. And it's just horrible where people are believing the evil things that they're doing and saying. Then what?
That is why we are here. I was determined to take up this battle of advocating the German right to live.
Right. We have the American right to live. Our boys have a right to live. We don't need to be over there to put democracy, which is nothing more than Vatican dictatorship, into power. What for? Everybody's angry at us now because we're sticking in our noses into business that doesn't belong to us, into their business. Go ahead.
I took it up first within the nation. In place of a great number of parties, social ranks, and societies, a single community now has taken its place, the German national community. To bring it to realization and to deepen it more and more is our task. I had to hurt many in this time. However, I believe that the good fortune in which the entire nation is participating today must richly compensate every single one for what he had to give up dearly on his own part.
In other words, he's saying that now Germany, after he pulled out of the UN, is doing real good. So in these last days, the last 2,000 years, Christ is the living one. Revelations 1:18, he said, I am he that was dead, behold, I'm alive forevermore. And so he's the living one. There's two bodies. The one body is of the first Adam, and the second body is the last Adam. That's Revelations 1:18. He's the living one. And within us, he is our life. Therefore, we have, if we have Christ, we have his spirit in us, which is the rivers of waters, many rivers of waters, the flow, the joy, the light, the law, and the peace. We have the living one as mentioned in Revelations 1:18. He was dead, but he's alive now forevermore, within us, flowing, glowing, regulating us by his spirit. This means that we are in Christ, taking Christ as our life, living by him, and consequently living the image Christ expressed in our daily walk. When we have Christ within us as our life, for sure, we will have the expression of Christ without. The way to take Christ as life is to take care of the inner anointing, the inner sense or realization, the inner registration, and to check if you have the inner flowing, the inner glowing, and the inner regulating, the inner law with the inner peace. And you can have that right now. My time is up by saying this prayer. Say this prayer to the Lord and have all these items which I've been telling you about, living and flowing with joy, happiness, and peace that passes understanding. Say this prayer to God right now. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord and keep doing it. Read the King James Version of the Bible. Get baptized in water and be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that you can have power in these last days to continue under in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Share and tell them four different ways to receive a copy of this tape, which is tape number 319.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. And here's one of the greatest geniuses in the musical field. He was known when we were just unsaved out on the in the world here together. He was known as the Boy Genius, and that's H.B. Barnum. And here's his choir singing Life, Prayer, Song. Beautiful.